Morning, and welcome to Things We Learn on a Monday Morning. And today, we're diving into a generational standoff. No, not the boomers versus everyone. This one is a little more closer to home. Gen Z versus millennial. That mildly awkward sibling rivalry that's been brewing on TikTok or X, formerly known as Twitter, and every workplace Slack channel. Now, full disclosure, I am a millennial. Born somewhere between Walkmans and wireless earbuds, we survived Y2K, dial-up internet, and the trauma of skinny jeans. Yes, I've had my fair share of skinny jeans, and there's evidence online. Fast forward, there's Gen Zs, bold, creative, unfiltered, calling out brands for performative values, speaking truth to power, and confidently reviving fashion brands we just finished recovering from. So here's the real question. Can Gen Z and millennials actually find common ground? Or are we destined to keep side-eyeing each other in open-plan offices and on family group chats? So, grab your coffee, or your Stanley Cup, or your oat milk ice latte. Because today's episode, we're unpacking what divides these two generations, and more importantly, how they can actually connect. Beyond the memes, shared trauma, and mutual disdain for phone calls. Let's go. So, let's dive into the first point. Stereotypes are funny until they're not. Now, this is a very fascinating or interesting conversational point, because everyone has a viewpoint or stereotype about another generation, and particularly between Gen Zs and millennials, there are quite a few which are so funny until they're not. But so before we jump into it, I want to play this video clip. It's a YouTube short, which I think would just be it'll be apt or more, quite fun for this particular point. So check this out.
Will Smith is canceled.
Don't go.
Stay woke.
Getting jiggy with it. No.
Bro, Will Smith is canceled.
Don't go.
Stay woke. Talk to the hand.
What's happening?
It's a slang off.
You're high key salty.
Because I'm all that in a bag of chips?
You're cringy.
You're bugging, Cap.
Not.
Oh, they're in it now.
Take several seats.
Take a chill pill.
You're so extra.
Oh. Thank you.
What happened?
Millennials embrace their extraness. They're proud of it. What a misplay.
You're proud of that? I'm weak. Facts.
Oh my god, he used his own against him.
Oh snap, right?
And he's playing to the crowd. I'm buff.
Man, you're whack. So,
I'm a bounce.
Bet?
Word.
Oh, down goes Frazier. Booyah!
Huh. What a couple of squares.
So you see, talking about a couple of squares. Wow. Where language was used, and funny enough, they're all saying a similar thing or saying the same thing towards each other, but just used differently. And it's a fascinating point. So some of the stereotypes we can dive into. Millennials are apparently obsessed with Harry Potter, avocado toast, and side parts. For those that have side parts, particularly the men, the line down here. I don't have much hair anymore, so no, doesn't count to me, but I had my fair share as well. Whereas Gen Zs, on the other hand, they've canceled skinny jeans. Love being real, and allegedly can't make a phone call without spiraling into a panic attack. Similarly, phone calls, I think for all millennials in many cases, we're dreading this call, picking up a phone call and answering it, because we get spammed or inundated with so much connection to our phone that it just becomes overwhelming. And so, yes, I think we may share that. But the truth is, both groups have experienced their fair share of formative experiences, which shaped their worldview and shaped how we approach life. So millennials, like I mentioned earlier, grew up in a time during the rise of the internet, MSN, MySpace. I remember back in our day when we had internet back at home, my goodness, it was slow. I think it was a 2 megabyte line, I think it was, and it was just so slow and loading so slow that sort of when you typed in the code, and when the internet, the web pages took so long to load, internet took so long to set up, emails took so long to send. It was just absolutely frustrating. But that's what we grew up in, with MySpace and webmail and Hotmail, all this type of stuff. And whereas Gen Zers, they grew up in the area of smartphone and technology, climate anxiety, and many other challenges. So the world has become more real and in your face versus we had a bit of distance. So it makes sense why we are responding the way we are responding. But here's where it gets a bit interesting. While one generation was learning how to build Facebook photo collages or photo albums, the other was learning how to go viral with 7-second TikTok videos. And these digital influences matter. They shape how each generation communicates, trusts, and processes information. Yeah, I think the pressure nowadays to produce content or to be viral, to be relevant, to cut through the noise, to be significant in that space, is the pressure's intense. The pressure of dealing with significance and being understood and heard in this generation, particularly Gen Zers and beyond that, is of high importance. So it requires of us to be a bit more aware and a bit more sensitive rather than just being, I guess, dismissive. But yes, stereotypes are funny until they're not. And I'll enjoy my avatars, by the way. Number two, different languages, same frustrations. Now I'm going to play this a clip on which is from Business Insider, which speaks about the Gen Z stare. Now this is a look, a position of the face that has sparked a lot of controversy. It wasn't controversy, but a lot of questions, a lot of conversation and misunderstanding. And I think this video will provide a bit more context to those that don't understand the Gen Z stare. So have a listen.
The Gen Z stare is when a young person is asked a question, often in a customer service situation, and just gives like a blank stare back. So I'm a millennial, but Amanda's Gen Z. Amanda, do you think this is even real?
I didn't think so at first, but some of the other Gen Zers who spoke to Business Insider said that they either had experienced it or that their parents told them they were doing it.
Some people chalk it up to just generational differences, or that Gen Z just isn't as into small talk or hasn't had as much time to develop social skills.
And I think there's definitely some truth to that. I mean, we're the generation who spent a large part of college or high school doing online classes, and we've also had social media basically our entire lives. Plus, we are also super underemployed right now. So that surly barista who's making your coffee might have an engineering degree. So I feel like you can't blame her for not wanting to be working in a coffee shop job right out of college.
So you think there's some millennial projection going on here, right?
Let me just say, it was not that long ago that millennials were supposedly ruining the economy with their sensitivities and their avocado toast spending habits.
Or Gen X when they were being slackers. The circle of life continues.
Right, like every generation loves to make fun of the generation that's right behind them.
But there's another element here, which is that all the examples we've seen are of people in customer service situations.
So maybe the Gen Z stare is just us processing your stupid questions.
So if you're getting the Gen Z stare, maybe you're just a bad customer. But one thing we both can agree on,
Gen Alpha's cooked.
Skibbity.
So yeah, there you go. Shame Gen Alpha's cooked. Shame. That's bad. But brilliant video and brilliant from the Business Insider. And yes, there are contexts to take note of. Yes, there is a Western American context which may differ slightly from the African context, but I think it is, some things can translate over cultures and over contexts. So in other words, we have a highly skilled group of people that is underemployed. We have a group of people that is engaged in technology and life in a completely different way than from the generation before them. And so dealing with different sets of pressures, different sets of outcomes, and different sets of engagements than what any of the previous generations have gone to, similarly down the line the other way. And what was so fascinating, which I found interesting about this video, is maybe people are just processing. Maybe the Gen Z are just processing what your request is. And yes, it is definitely in the context of the service delivery space, where it's either coffee baristas or clothing shops, where these Gen Zers who are on the counter serving the people, so it's in a particular high pressure context. I imagine. And this, I've experienced the Gen Z stare, dealing with Gen Zers when you're engaging in conversation and they're staring at you and you're thinking that they're not understanding or they're pushing back in some ways, but they're actually just processing. And when you ask processing questions and you actually get the response, but sometimes the stare doesn't have to be a sign of offense or attack. It's just sometimes just their thinking face. And maybe sometimes it is an attack, but in the cases that I've engaged with Gen Zers, that's been, they're just standing and they're processing. And they're allowing you to talk, to finish your thought, and so for you to engage a bit more. So, yes. and here's another article, I think, just to further to support that. So there's an article from Zendesk blog, and it's customer service expectations and the differences between millennials and Gen Zs. And I just want to hone in on this, and this just further supports the particular video. Millennials expect an immediate customer service response. You give it to me now. Gen Zers prefer self-service options, self-checking out. I also prefer that. I guess you deal with less people, but it's just you get things done and you move through. Millennials will spend more after a personalized experience. Yes, we do that. And then Gen Zers believe personalized experiences are not exclusive to premium brands, which is fair. They expect personalized experience across the board. It doesn't have to be specialized for different people. Whereas millennials get duped into paying more by just getting a little bit extra, a bit more friendliness. Then millennials are more likely to switch to a competitor after a bad experience. That is true. If we experience bad service, we just go to the next one. Maybe they give us better service. Whereas Gen Z is, I believe, it spends more time researching before making a purchase. So doing a lot of back-end research, and so when they're making an informed decision, and I guess they take into account experiences, reviews, ethical sourcing of the products to that level. So it's quite a in-depth dossier, if you want to call it that, on the particular service provider before they jump in and give their money to them. And then lastly, millennials report high exhaustion levels after customer service interactions, whereas Gen Zers believe are less concerned when it comes to data privacy, which I think maybe that's quite an interesting contrast. But yeah, because I guess with millennials, we're engaging a lot more with people, talking to people, we get tired because it's just high interaction. And so maybe we can tone it down a little bit. But whereas Gen Zers, I don't think they're less concerned when it comes to data privacy. I think we're all concerned with our data and our privacy, particularly in this invasive age. So I don't know where that necessarily lies, but I think having done the research on the people that they're engaging with, that they're going to spend their money on, I think that's probably in the space, in their research, that they probably do protect their privacy. Yeah, so they're more trusting because they've done the legwork. So I think that's fantastic. And so here's the connection. Here's the kicker. Both generations want the same things. We want the same things: to be heard and to have meaningful work. And you find that the drive for why, your why in your workplace and in your life, is a big thing right now. Finding out your why and being heard in a space where, like I mentioned, there's so much noise, so much content, so much outcry in public, in social media spaces, in life in general, that it's difficult to have your voice heard, and whether by people that's important to you or just in the general public. But we all want to be heard, and we all want to make a meaningful contribution to life. But the way in which we express those desires or our desires looks completely different. So millennials are often seen as idealistic. We're seen as idealistic. Working with systems, I love systems. Yay. Put things in order, put things in place so we can follow a structured space. But working outside is also great. Whereas Gen Z is, they are skeptical, or system skeptical, as I mentioned. They are more likely to question capitalism, challenge hierarchies, and call you out publicly. Yes. Especially if the brand isn't walking the talk. In other words, isn't holding to the values and the service delivery that they profess to do so. So I guess Gen Z is, with the protection of social media and technology, they're able to be more vocal in calling out certain brands and calling out people that are not being integrous. Whereas I guess with the millennials being more face-to-face, we're used to face-to-face. It's a little bit more difficult to call people out face-to-face because it might end up being in a fight. But we enjoy systems, and that's why we work on the back end to improve our systems, to be more productive, to be more integrous, to be more, be more fruitful in our systems. But we all want the same thing. But where it starts with listening, without defensiveness, without being defensive. I want to understand why you're saying what you're saying And so you understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. So Gen Z doesn't need to be at war. They just, they don't need to, and also, yeah, Gen Zs don't need to be, they don't need to hear, because we worked an 80-hour day, or 80-hour week, and we didn't complain. So why are you complaining about horrible working environments? We worked long hours. And millennials also don't need to be told, okay, boomer. just because he used to laughing at emojis instead of the skull emoji. But we don't need to be categorized as the older people, which, oh, you don't understand what you're saying because you're old. We're in a new world now. And similarly, we do not also have to do to Gen Zers that you don't understand from the experience. We can draw from each other's experiences, which is important. The Gen Zs there in particular. Number three, where do the generations connect? And there is good news. They are not as divided as the internet makes them out to be. We have shared pains and shared frustrations, and like mental health advocacy is one of them, work-life balance, and climate action. These are three important key things where we come together and say, no, we need to address these challenges. We need to look at these practices because they are out of sorts. In fact, many Gen Zs and millennial creators, activists, and entrepreneurs are already collaborating using each other's strengths. So like the mentorship aspect of millennials, the systems thinking of millennials versus the freshness, the creativity, the boldness that's in the Gen Zers and the innovation in those space with technology is all, and the BS detector, if you want to put it that way. Total BS. All of these are combined and honed to provide advocacy to navigate or to address and challenge these particular spaces, these particular topics, which is meaningful to us. So imagine this power combo come together. It will just be fantastic. So a power combo, not a power struggle. Anyway. So, and the last point. This is the last point we're covering in. Lessons we can take into the mind. So how do we bring this all together? How do we collate our thoughts together, having a little bird's eye view or a small look into the challenges of these two generations? Or how can we look at this beyond the Gen Zs and millennials? How can we relate to the other generations? And there's three things I want to draw from this interaction. Number one, curiosity beats critique. Let's begin to ask questions of why and understanding and contextualizing over you doing it wrong. Because there may be something in them, their wrongdoing, that's actually perfect to shift and change and to improve the current way of doing things. Ask your why. Why do you communicate in this particular way? Why is your face the way it is in your testing Gen Z face? Instead of assuming how they think. Asking why is important. Curiosity always beats critique. And number two, humor heals. I like the first video played, that sort of the slang battle. I think it's being able to laugh at each other with each other, not necessarily at each other. Sometimes at each other it's even more funny. It actually works better. But laughing with each other, or learning to understand that through laughter and humor, rather than just focusing on our differences as a divisive nature, but laughing at why millennials like avocado toast and skinny jeans and systems versus why does Gen Zers have a resting face, which can be super offensive or super intense actually. But humor heals. Learn to laugh. Let's not take each other too seriously. And then lastly, collaboration is the future. We said across the board, collaboration with in any form of business and any form of interaction and community is the future. We need to learn to work together. So if millennials can bring their Google Docs, yay, and Gen Zs can bring their Discord server, those who don't know Discord, go do your research, then maybe we can build something amazing. Maybe we can build something fantastic. Maybe we can shift the culture and use our strengths to bring something fantastic and build a brighter future. So that's the conversation today. And I hope that you are able to take this beyond just the millennial Gen Z conversation to any other generations. And yeah, it's just, I hope you found this episode fascinating and insightful. And just some extra news with this podcast. I thought I'll throw it in here. We've been getting some exciting interactions and guests that want to be part of the podcast. So in the next rollout, the next few months, there'll be some engaging conversations. I won't spoil it for you, but it's just different. And so thank you for those that have been reaching out to be on the pod, and some of you want to launch your book. So let's become a book launching podcast, a resource building podcast. But I'm glad that you are finding this podcast helpful, engaging, and adding a little step to your life, a bit of joy to your life. So yes, thank you for spending time with me this morning, on this Monday morning. So if this episode made you smile, made you laugh, made you giggle, if you're watching it on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment. If you're listening to all other podcast platforms, then just email me. Hey, email me, or on Instagram or any other socials. Just drop me a message. Say, I love the podcast. I love the episode. This is why I liked it. And that type of feedback really, really helps me. And I find it completely fun to engage with you. So until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and keep learning.